So getting ready for this, or preparing backstage, Pastor Ben came and got me, and you know, we've all heard that about the, you know, kingdom of God suffering violence because the violent are so eager to get into it that it's suffering violence, right? Well, I want to tell you that the most violent people in this church are descendants of Sean Danks, because Sam Arangia decided to like shove her thumb through my throat in the middle of prayer. And then I walk in here and Pastor Shane slaps me in the side of the head and says, "Receive the Spirit." Like, so watch that back corner is all I'm telling you. If you need to use the bathrooms, exit that way and take the scenic route around or go upstairs. Because the violent ones are in that corner. So June 22nd, I looked this up, and just to see, you know, there's all those national days of whatever you want to call today, right? So today is National Onion Ring Day. So go to Dairy Queen and get yourself some onion rings in celebration of National Onion Ring Day. It's also National Kissing Day. So if you missed the opportunity to kiss Isaac Ricketts on his birthday, today's a killer day to cash in and square up on that deal. All right, let's pray. Father God, I just thank you for the opportunity to share your word today, and I just pray, Lord, that whatever it is I speak, it would be 100% influenced by your Spirit and bring all the glory to Jesus. I don't have anything worthwhile to bring. Don't have any spices. I don't have any cool perfumes. All I have is my life, Jesus. I just bring you that, Lord. Just thank you, Jesus. We invite your Spirit into this place. We recognize your Spirit in this place, and we honor your Spirit in this place. We just pray, Lord, that we would not leave here the same as we showed up. That you would come and do what you tell us you will do and transform us. We just love you. All this is for you. Amen. All right, so what got me on this topic of fully alive is a series of deaths, not physical deaths, but equally as painful. And you know, most of you know, because every time I'm up here, I just feel like I just rip my chest open and expose the inner parts of me. And so you're all pretty well aware of what the Lord's been doing in my family for the last year, but we've really been stretched in the arena of worship over the last probably 14 to 15 months. And it was about a year ago this time last year that we were preparing to go to D.C. to worship and serve at David's Tent in D.C., of which, you know, we just came back from year two this year. And, you know, that's all, it feels like I beat a dead horse with it, but it's still very, very new to us. It's very vulnerable, worship is very vulnerable for us, because we're not doing this from a place of start song, end song, performance, hope it tickles your ears, and maybe you enjoy what it sounds like. We my wife and I, do this from a place of total surrender. And, you know, through that and through this past year, especially for the last few months, the Lord told us that I was going to be leaving the traditional workforce. And many of you all know me here. If you don't, you're going to know me a little better. But I'm a land surveyor, and I've worked for 15 years in Pittsburgh area as a surveyor. And those responsibilities were, you know, multi-state, multi-people. I was kind of the head of over all of that. And the Lord called me to hang it up. And we're still fresh into whatever that looks like, just stepping in complete obedience that he told me to hang up a career and pretty cushy lifestyle, and we're just in this place of continuous surrender. We're always continuously being just continue to be stretched. Feels like we're not in this like tension between my family, but we're just always in this tension of the Holy Spirit highlighting areas that He wants us to give back to Him, so that He can glorify Jesus through that, and so there is this little bit of a tension there, and then the most recent. Thing that Bethany and I have stepped into is with leadership of Heart of David and leading a worship movement, and there's just been this continuous yes on our lips of Holy Spirit asking us to step into something, to give something up, to surrender something, and we say yes to whatever that is. Most of y'all probably don't remember, but one of the first messages I spoke was, I went over this Hebrew word, hineni, and I saw this Hebrew word stamped at one point in time, and in Isaiah 6, when he's standing in the throne room of God, the Lord calls him, his response is hineni. That's the Hebrew word hineni, and that's an absolute yes. It's an absolute yes, an absolute surrender to whatever is asked after that. It's not a conditional yes. And I do believe that, I'm not going to be naive to the fact of what's going on in the Middle East. And the book of Matthew, Jesus were instructed that there will be wars and rumors of wars, but we're not to worry about it, not to concern ourselves with it, because you have two options in that. Either you view it through a lens of fear, deal with that, or you view it from the lens of Jesus is quickly coming, and that should cause excitement, right? But irregardless, the process that we're on is this process that is, the end result is a bride that's prepared for Jesus, that is spotless, that is the sacrifice that Jesus died for. Jesus died for the spotless bride, and that spotless bride is the church. And that spotless bride is comprised of us. And we are on this journey of being pruned and refined and stripped down and broken and placed on the altar so that Jesus can have his full reward. So my prayer is that the Lord would just empty us of importance. That we would be emptied of importance so that Jesus can be fully glorified. Pastor Jeff and Shane already mentioned this, that there were seven guys at men's prayer on June 7th that one came forward, a leader of the church had come forward and repented and confessed. And And then there's just this ripple, one after another, that came broken and placed hidden things in the light. And I spent the bulk of that day completely messed up. We went to the car cruise later that day, and Larry Ricketts, who was at men's prayer, showed up, and he just looked at me, and he's just like, dude, you still look rough. And I was just like, I don't have an answer for that, man. Like, the Lord just destroyed me. And then we had a Burn the Ships that following Friday. And Burn the Ships is this men's group that Larry and Scott Baldwin are tag teaming and heading up, in which we just get together for worship, little word, grill some hot dogs and eat some ribs. So if you're a guy, I think the next one's July 18th out at Linhart's Pond, and make sure you are there. It's a good time. And but again, we hit this moment of guys, started with a couple, led to more, that showed their hidden stuff a little bit, and put it out there, like, this is the dirt that I'm dealing with. And I will tell you that his presence, just as it was at men's prayer 6 days previous, was so thick. And this is that process of refining, putting things on the altar, good, bad, ugly, dirty, messy, whatever it looks like, placing it on the altar, giving it to him, letting him burn it up, consume it, and then us being able to live fully alive in this new covenant of Jesus. These are just little things that were just kind of led to the culmination of this. But last week backstage, I was chatting with Pastor Ben, and he had no idea what I was talking about. We were just standing right here, and just out of the blue, he starts talking about the very passage that's in my notes to preach on today. And I'm just like, man, like, this is just really wild. And it's just like, dude, like, I mean, he had no idea at the time when I said, man, that really ties into my message, that it was my message. But so he'll understand all of that in a little bit. And then, who's watched The Chosen? Half of you are saved. So there's a new season of The Chosen out. I'm going to spoil one of the episodes for you. Get over it. Most of it's from the Bible anyways. I don't care. Most of it's in Scripture. And what's not is wrong anyways. It probably is true. But Beth and I were watching it. There's this scene of when Jesus is riding in as king. We all know it, right? They're all shouting Hosanna. And Jesus is riding in on a donkey, presenting himself as king. And they are confronted by three Pharisees. And these three Pharisees come out and basically, like, ready to stone him, telling him to beat it the other direction. And you know, the disciples are just like, no, like, we're going. Can you hear them shouting his praises? Hosanna, like, this is the Savior. This is the moment. This is the climax of what we've been doing for the last 3 years. And the three Pharisees realize that they're not changing anything. So they turn to leave. And Jesus and the full band there proceed towards Jerusalem. But one of the Pharisees stands there. And he's staring at Jesus walking away. And I could just feel that tension in him. Because I've stood there so many times in my past where I've stood and I've watched the Lord move. And I was just too afraid of what it was going to cost me. Too afraid of what it might look like, what it might cost, what my friends that are standing right beside me walking away might think. And too often, just like that Pharisee, I turned and I followed my past. I followed what was comfortable because I was afraid of what stood in front of me. And while we're sitting on the couch watching that, I heard Holy Spirit ask me the question if I was willing to get burned. And I really felt like this is what the challenge is for Abundant Life today. This is not going to be a pretty put together, make you feel good type of message. The key to becoming fully alive is to fully dying. The key to a life fully alive in Christ is fully addressing everything. Everything. The good, the bad, the ugly, the dirty, the things that you might think are hidden. It all needs addressed. And today is that. This is a time for us as a body to dig in and go deeper. We are being prepared for the second coming of Jesus. Yesterday we were at men's prayer, and Shane said he'd said this in the past, but I never remembered hearing it, sorry. But you said the cross is the great intertwining of humility and authority. And if I got that wrong, fix it in 2 weeks. Because I have the microphones, that's what you said now. But the cross is this great cross-section of humbled, being humbled, and having authority and the power that Jesus died for. That is this message in a nutshell. So today, we will talk a little bit about being fully alive in Christ. More than existing, we're not just surviving, we're not just treading water, we're not just keeping our head and nose just barely above things, but being fully alive. Jesus says in John 10:10 that he's come that we may have life and that life in abundance to the full. But to be honest, there are times, personally here, and I know it's true for y'all because you're human too, where we wonder how that actually plays out, how it works. Sometimes it's easier to talk about than it is to fully do this, because there are times in our lives where we may feel half alive, we may feel distant from the Lord, half full, caught in routines of religion, and sometimes we feel like we're lacking the fire of the relationship. And what it is some of us end up being in this place of where we're holding on to a piece of our life that's preventing Jesus from fully consuming us. So the truth of the message today is that you and I cannot have, and Pastor Ben, I believe, preached on this, but you and I cannot have the resurrection life without surrender, without the crucifixion. This is that great intersection of humility and authority. We cannot walk in power and authority unless we deal with things, whether that's good things, things to be happy about, or things that might cut a little deeper. Nate Johnston, many of y'all have heard me reference him, and pastors here have referenced him also. He released a word. I believe it was in the last few days. It might have been in the last week or so. But he said this. In this consumerism Christian culture we've inherited, we want our circumstances to change, but we resist the internal transformation required. Often we avoid deliverance. We avoid healing, we avoid conviction, and we avoid the refining fire. We want the promise without the pruning. And to live fully alive in Jesus, we must live fully surrendered to Jesus. So today, and the Holy Spirit led me to this. This is not a feel-good passage, but we're going to be reading from Leviticus. It's not a place where we go ever for warm and fuzzy feeling type of messages, but there is something in this Old Testament passage, the truth of what it takes and what it looks like to be fully surrendered and to have this life fully alive. But before I read, I do want you to understand that the Israelites, as a whole, as a people, lived and have always existed in this sacrificial system. Sacrificing is something that they have always had. It's always been a part of who they are. Tracks clear back to the Garden of Eden. The Lord sacrificed as a means to hide their Adam and Eve's shame. We see it with Noah, and as soon as the flood ends, he builds an altar and he sacrifices the Lord. And we all know the story of Abraham and his dilemma with sacrificing his son and the ram presented instead. And all of these sacrifices, we know this, are you know, covered under the new covenant by Jesus. But there is something still there that is our part. So this is not something new that is being presented to the Israelites in Leviticus. But my mind kind of wandered why maybe the Lord felt the need to not only formalize this process that he gave them, but to give them a refresher course on sacrifices and the different types of sacrifices. I would suspect and suggest that maybe they grew complacent in the process. As we'll read, I'm an engineer and surveyor, like I said, that I don't have much of an imagination, but my imagination, if you have people bringing ox to the tent of meetings and the altar, and you're stabbing it in the throat and collecting the blood and chopping it up and skinning it and washing its insides and piling it on top of a stone and lighting it on fire, that's nobody's coming away clean, right? It's going to smell a little funny. Blood smells funny. When you gut an animal, it smells funny. When you tear an animal apart, it smells funny. And some of the ways in which they do it are pretty gruesome. And we'll read some of that. So I would suspect that maybe the nature in which they had to carry these out, they probably knew this. The Lord set the example first, right? And they were just following in the example of Father God. But because of the nature of what they had to go through, I would suggest that they probably bent some of those rules. And this is the Lord, through Moses, setting this straight of this is how it's done. So we're going to read from, I'm in the CSB, if you want to flip there yourself on your phone or whatever, it should be on the screens. But we're in Leviticus chapter 1, and we have a lot to read. So sorry. Starting in verse 1. Then the Lord summoned Moses and spoke to him from the tent of meeting. Speak to the Israelites and tell them, when any of you brings an offering to the Lord from the livestock, you may bring your offering from the herd or the flock. If his offering is a burnt offering from the herd, he is to bring an unblemished male. He will bring it to the entrance to the tent of meeting so that he may be accepted by the Lord. He is to lay his hand on the head of the burnt offering so that it can be accepted on his behalf to make atonement for him. He is to slaughter the bull before the Lord. Aaron's sons, the priests, are to present the blood and splatter it on all sides of the altar that is at the entrance to the tent of meeting. Then he is to skin the burnt offering and cut it into pieces. The sons of Aaron, the priests, will prepare a fire on the altar and arrange the wood on the fire. Verse 8. Aaron's sons, the priests, are to arrange the pieces, the head, and the fat on top of the burning wood on the altar. The offerer is to wash its entrails, its guts, and legs with water. Then the priest will burn all of it on the altar as a burnt offering, a food offering, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. But if his offering is a burnt offering from the flock, the sheep, or the goat, he is to present an unblemished male. He will slaughter it on the north side of the altar before the Lord. Aaron's sons, the priest, will splatter its blood against the altar on all sides. He will cut the animal into pieces with its head and its fat, and the priest will arrange them on top of the burning wood on the altar. But he is to wash the guts and legs with water. The priest will then present all of it and burn it on the altar. It is a burnt offering, a food offering, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. If the offering to the Lord is of the birds, he is to present his offering from the turtle dove or the pigeons. Then the priest is to bring it to the altar and twist off its head and burn it on the altar. Its blood should be drained at the side. He will remove its digestive tract, cutting off the tail feathers, and throw it on the east side of the altar at the place of ashes. He will tear it open by its wings without dividing the bird. Then the priest is to burn it on the altar on top of the burning wood. It is a burnt offering, a food offering, and a pleasing aroma to the Lord. The imagery there is pretty rough. Leviticus 1:9, verse 9 there, it says, then the priest will burn all of it on the altar as a burnt offering, a food offering, and a pleasing aroma to the Lord. The key word there is all. He's going to burn all of it. He's not burning the head and the good parts. He's not burning half the animal. The animal is all, without one piece held back. The head, the fat, the guts, and the legs, it's all laid out. And this isn't just like a ritualistic thing. It's symbolic of total surrender, absolute surrender. Because every piece has a purpose. And the Lord kind of led me through this and just kind of a series of questions for me and just relaying them to you. But you know, the head that's placed on the altar is representative of our thoughts and our desires. And he asked me the question if I'm letting God transform my mind. So are you letting the Lord transform your mind? The fat placed on the altar with the head, that's the good parts, right? That's what sustains us. That's the rich side of things. And he asked me, he's like, are you only giving me your best? Then there's the legs that are washed and placed on the altar. That's our walk. That's our walk with the Lord. That's our actions, your lifestyle, my lifestyle. And Holy Spirit asked me if I'm living obedient to the convictions that he's called me and according to those convictions that he's called me to walk in. And then there's the messy part, the guts that are washed and laid on the altar. These inner parts, these are sometimes our will or our emotions, or it can just be that stuff that you just don't want people to see. And Holy Spirit asked me, he's like, are you letting me into your inner world? So we must ask ourselves, are we only offering God what's good and what's comfortable? Or are we actually giving him every aspect, every part? Because the fire that we read about later in Leviticus in verse 9, that fire only falls once the sacrifice is fully on the altar. So in the Old Testament, fire is representative of God's presence. In Hebrews 12:29, we're told that God is a consuming fire. And that fire as we saw, as we could go read it, but I'm not going to read all of Leviticus to you. That can be your homework this week. Read it all. In bulk, it's pretty dry, so good luck. In chapter 9, they prepare the sacrifice on behalf of the Israelites. They put it all on the altar, and then they recluse to the, I like that I have a tent here, they recluse to the tent of meeting. Aren't you happy that the Lord doesn't live in a tent anymore, that you're the tent now? I'm happy that I'm the tent. That's better. But Moses and Aaron and they recluse to the tent to pray and meet with the Lord, and then as an act to show just how great and glorious He is, the Lord sends fire down and consumes that altar, but only once it's all there. Partial sacrifices don't cut it. Romans 12:1 tells us that we are to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, because that is true worship. So I'll say it for me, I want God's presence, so I have to lay it all down. And I want His fire in my life, so I have to offer everything. So I want, I saw us doing this, sorry, I'm weird. But I want you to close your eyes and just open your hands. Open your hands. Everybody can do that. I'm not going to make you stand up. We won't do cartwheels. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit right now to reveal to you whatever it is that you're holding back that's keeping the fire from purifying you. Whatever that may be, it could be lustful thoughts. You could have deep, dark, hidden sin. It could be as simple as just, you know, being nice to people, which for some can be hard. For me personally, I was at the car cruise with Pastor Jeff. And he gave us the message where he was talking about the critique button. And I got in the car with my wife, and she said, "Oh, you mean your jerk button?" So, Lord, I repent of that. Holding everybody to a standard and judging everything. Because the terror that's in Matthew 7 is true. Jesus tells me that the standard by which I judge everybody else, I'll be held to. So whatever it is the Lord's revealing to you right now, personally, we're going to have a time at the end here. I want you to just place that at the altar. Whatever that's going to be. Surrender is not going to be easy, guys. It sounds simple. We talk about it. And I think as Western civilization and church, we talk about things so much that they become watered down. But the Lord's really putting His thumb on this, because He wants us to come back to this place of where we are just continuously pouring ourselves out. And we reach this place just as Paul reached, where we just want Jesus to be the most important. I don't care what my life has to look like. Crush me. That has to be the prayer. Surrender is not poetic. It's painful, and it comes with a cost. Let's go back to Leviticus, verse 6. They skinned the animal, burnt the offering, and cut it into pieces. And I went back to men's prayer that morning on this, where I just saw a group of guys with their guts exposed, the soft innards of themselves exposed, and they just sat there and they just washed everything in the presence of the Lord. They just washed everything in the presence of the Lord and then just gave it back to him. And he wants everything. And I was in the middle of worship. I think it's Natalie Garver was up here. And she was just sitting on the altar there with her stuffed puppy with her grandma. And you know what? She brought what mattered most to her to the altar of the Lord. And that was just a beautiful picture of how I want my life to be modeled. And because the Lord wants us to bring our fears and our failures. He wants the good, the bad, the ugly. He wants our talents, our relationships. He wants our most prized puppy dog. He wants everything, brokenness, our bitterness, everything on the altar. And that includes the stuff that you would rather have hidden, stuff that I would rather have hidden. Bring it. And let's be honest. Death is scary. That's human nature, right? Like I'm not trying to stand up here and be like, oh yeah, you have to do this. It's gonna be okay, you know that. It's terrifying. Beth and I say yes to standing in front of our peers and leading worship on the National Mall in D.C. Or going and doing these events such as joining Voices for Jesus where we don't know anybody on stage but ourselves. It's terrifying. But I will tell you that the Lord meets every single time. He's looking for opportunities in your life to prove himself faithful. And that's where I find the comfort in stepping out of my place of employment and stepping out of a workplace and leaving this place as the primary breadwinner of my house, completely sure that the Lord will provide for me and my family. He's a good God. He's not going to ask you to do something. He's not going to ask you to do something that is not good for you. And he's not going to ask me to do something that's not good for me. You have to trust. I have to trust that the farmer, when he's pruning, knows what's best for Bobby. Because I've come to this place too many times in my life, just like that stinking Pharisee on the road into Jerusalem. I've come to this place and I could hear the enemy chirping in my ear that what I have to give up costs far too much. It hurts too much. You can't talk about those kinds of things. Everybody deals with that. You just deal with it in private and just nobody talks about this. And you have this little area of your life reserved in your spirit, reserved in your heart that, Lord, you can have everything but. And I'm tired of living my life with, I'm tired of living my life with a but. You heard it here first. I'm dumb. But I will tell you, I'm walking this with you guys, right? But we don't lose our lives. That it's upgraded. We get a better one. That's the hope of the gospel. We get a better one. Let's revisit that again. Close your eyes. Kind of posture yourself before the Lord. Because today is going to be the day where you identify and I identify whatever area it is that, that the Holy Spirit wants me to give up, whatever area it is that the Holy Spirit wants me to surrender, today's the day. Ask the Lord what you still have a hold of. First Corinthians 6:19, this is in the Passion. Have you forgotten that your body is now the sacred temple of the Spirit of holiness? Who lives in you? You don't belong to yourself any longer, for the gift of God, the Holy Spirit, lives inside of your sanctuary. He's not in that tent anymore, he's in this one. You were God's expensive purchase, paid for with tears of blood. So by all means then, use your body to bring glory to God. We, when we lay all of us aside and commit to allowing Holy Spirit to prepare us to be the piece of the bride that he predestined us to become, when we commit to that process, we become the place where heaven meets earth. Romans 8, 4, and 6, also in the Passion. Those who are motivated by the flesh only pursue what benefits themselves. But those who live by the impulses of the Holy Spirit are motivated to pursue spiritual realities. For the sense and reason of the flesh is death, but the mindset controlled by the Spirit finds life and peace. Other translations say that the mind that is governed by the Spirit finds life. So when we are in this place of continuously surrendering and bringing all of us, we find peace, purpose, and power. We get to experience the release or the freedom rather than what the world would paint as restriction. We become sons of the living God rather than slaves to the system as the world would portray it. Our true identity rather than the glass house that we've built. We get his life in place of my life. You get his life in place of your life. Romans 8, again, 14 and 16, also in the Passion. The mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. And you did not receive the spirit of religious duty, which leads you back into the fear of never being good enough, but you have received the spirit of full acceptance, enfolding you into the family of God, and you will never feel orphaned. You will never feel orphaned. For as he rises up within us, our spirits join him in saying the words of tender affection, Abba, Father, beloved Father. For the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to you and I as he whispers into your innermost being that you are my beloved child. Verse 11 says, yes, God raised Jesus to life. And since God's spirit of resurrection lives in you, he will also raise your dying body. As you sacrifice, he will raise your dying body to life by the same spirit that breathes life into you. This isn't a future thing. This isn't something that's reserved for the glorified man of Bobby. This isn't something that's reserved for a future tense church. This is a present, here and now reality. So the only place that we become fully alive is when we commit to being fully surrendered. If the worship team wants to come. Can we stand? We had the exercise of asking the Lord what it is that might be in the way of the fullness of his glory in your life, and the fire that you cry out for, and the presence that you cry for, and whatever it is that your spirit is craving. We asked the Lord, what is the blockage? Today is the day that we deal with the blockage. My encouragement is not to leave this moment. The glimpse that a handful of men saw in Pastor Shane's basement 2 weeks ago, and under a pavilion in the middle of nowhere, Columbia or Mahoning County. That's the church groaning and the Lord responding with the fullness of his presence. And the fire of the presence of the Lord only comes down when we see and experience total surrender. And Pastor Jeff gave this message a few weeks ago about the body benefiting from every facet of said body. And you may be sitting here and just saying, like, I'm good. Like, I don't have anything I need to deal with. Well, the rest of us are waiting on the others. We're waiting as a body, tiptoed with eager expectation for the revealings of the sons of God, because there are people in here that are waiting for you to step out. They're waiting for you to call upon the Lord. I'm waiting on people to call upon the Lord, because when I go, others go. And where you go, I'm willing to go. And we just constantly are on this journey of pulling each other along everywhere we go, and encouraging and spurring each other along. And you're not in this alone. You're gonna sit in your seat and be like, no, the sin that I have, you don't understand. It's just too hard. It's not something we talk about. Hogwash. Today's the day to cast everything at the altar. It's the day to cut yourself open, rip yourself apart, wash the dirt. You literally wash the guts. You are washing the poop out of your life. The Holy Spirit comes and washes everything, all the junk, all the dirt, all the nasty, everything bare before the Lord. Because only then does the fire of the Lord fall. Only then does the Holy Spirit and all the fullness of Jesus come. And only then is Jesus rewarded for his suffering. The challenge today is to go a little bit deeper. We as a church are being set apart. We are being sanctified so that Jesus can be glorified in New Waterford, Ohio. So let's pray. and the altars are open. There are people here, if you have a specific need that you want folks to partner with you in, we will do that. But if you just need to come and lay on your face before the Lord and just leave some junk at the altar, or if you just need to come and thank Him for all the good in your life, come and do, come and do. Holy Spirit, we bring every piece of ourselves to You. We bring our thoughts, our mind, our will, and our emotions. I bring my motives and my dreams, Lord. Not holding anything back anymore. I just pray, Father, that You would do as You have shown and as You have said You would do, that as Your people surrender themselves, that You, Holy Spirit, fall and consume in power, and You make Yourself evident by signs, miracles, and wonders, that Your people walk free, Your people walk away delivered of the past, Your people walk away with new mindsets, that Your people walk away with this reality that they are Your son and daughter, they are Your children, that we would walk away with a clearer picture of just how good You are, how much You love us, and the price that You paid. Because what happened on the cross was messy. What happened on the cross was messy, but we want the fullness of the authority. We want the fullness of the power, Lord Jesus, that You prophesied that we would walk in, that we would be fully capable Christians, Lord. Great representatives of You, Lord Jesus. So we humble ourselves here at the altar. We humble ourselves here at the altar. We just pray, Holy Spirit, that right now you would come and raise what's broken. You would come and fill what's being poured out. You would come and just breathe life and joy and peace into those areas that are being surrendered right now, Father. Let Your fire burn bright in us. We love You, Jesus. Amen.